There are times, and I suspect I'm not alone in this, there are times when I am walking or running along the pavement down the street, and there's somebody coming in the opposite direction who is in my way. The only problem is that they don't realise they are in my way because they have their head in their mobile phone. So I'm running along and I'm thinking to myself, well, what should I do here? Should I just go over into the road, you know, there's no cars coming, that's perfectly safe, and just let them wander through in their own little world? I must say, I do have other thoughts. And one of my ambitions is to run or walk up to this person in a straight line, and just before I get to the person, swerve out of the way and give an almighty clap. Or say, boo! Now, as yet, you may have done that, I don't know. As yet, I have never summoned up the courage actually to do it. Partly, I suspect, because I don't want to be responsible for a heart attack. Making people jump. I wonder what techniques you use or have used possibly in the past for making people jump. There must be something that we enjoy about it, because otherwise we wouldn't have done it as children, even if we don't do it in adulthood. I don't know what your techniques have been. Part of it, I suppose, is about creating something unexpected, some surprise, waiting and wondering to see how a person or people will respond and react. Will you get the response you want? And you will know that sometimes people respond and they're quite okay, and there are others who are very moody and will respond because you have shaken them out of their own little world at that point in their day. They were nice and comfortable, life was going along smoothly, and all of a sudden there's been a jolt to it. Making people jump. I think that's where we are with the resurrection stories which we read in our Gospels. Time and time again, as we read those stories, we are surprised. There is a sense of playfulness about these stories. I'm going to explore that in a little bit more detail in a few moments' time. But we turn, first of all, to hear that story from John's Gospel, where people were made to jump. John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18.
The chapter is entitled The Empty Tomb. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the entrance. She went running to Simon Peter and the other disciples whom Jesus loved and told them, "They've taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they have got him." Then Peter and the other disciple went to the tomb. The two of them went running, but the other disciple was faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and saw the linen wrapping, but he did not go in. Behind him came Simon Peter, and he went straight into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth which had been round Jesus' head. It was not lying with the other linen wrappings, but was rolled up by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand the scripture which was said, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to the house. Mary stood crying outside the tomb. While she was still crying, she bent over and looked into the tomb and saw two angels. They were dressed in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and the other at the feet. "Woman, why are you crying?" they asked her. She answered, "They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have put him." Then she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. "Woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who is it that you're looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. So she said to him, "If you've taken him away, sir, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. "Do not hold on to me," Jesus said, "because I have not yet come back to my Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am returning to him who is my Father and their Father, my God and their God." So Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and related to them what he had told her. Amen. Thanks be to God.
For a few moments this morning, I want to reflect with you on what we might call resurrection patterns. And two key words, really. Imagination on the one hand and relationship on the other. Imagination and relationship. Knock, knock. Do you know the one about? That's about as far as I can go with jokes. I have never been able to tell jokes. And there will be other introductory sentences or phrases that you are familiar with. Don't know whether you're aware that over the years, over the centuries of history, Easter Sunday has been the time to tell jokes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And actually, in some traditions, perhaps in the more distant past than the more near past, it was the priest's job to get up in front of the congregation and to regale them with jokes. Wouldn't that be fun? It would be fun if I could do it, but I'm sorry. Why? Why was there this tradition of telling jokes on Easter Day? Well, of course, part of it is about creating an atmosphere where there is a deep sense of joy and celebration, where people are happy, where people actually enjoy smiling. Being there, being with one another, enjoying the moment, recognising that this is a day for celebration, for a sense of inner peace, for a sense of purpose. And of course, within that is the importance of playfulness. So whether you're trying to make people jump, whether you're trying to give them a surprise, whether you're trying to give them some jokes to laugh at, today is about playfulness. And that's not about being frivolous. It's actually about going more deeply into the whole story of resurrection and the whole story of crucifixion. Because, of course, the story of resurrection is a response to the story of crucifixion. What the story of resurrection says to the story of crucifixion is this. Chill. Loosen up. For what the story of resurrection says to those people who crucified Jesus, the authorities, those people who wanted to control everything, it says, hey, don't seek to control everything. Don't get engrossed in what we might call stale mediocrity. Stale predictability. For that is what has put Jesus on the cross in the first place. People who cannot think imaginatively beyond the box. People who simply feel threatened by anything which sounds new or fresh or different. The story of crucifixion is basically more of the same. How do we keep a lid on this? How do we stop things getting out of control? And the story of resurrection is to come along and to say, use your imagination. Explore a world beyond the smallness of your current world. Perhaps one of the things it says to us is act out of character. It may be hard to believe, but I was a very sensible child. And the friends around me, well, they were sensible too. So you wouldn't find us doing anything really but conforming at school or anywhere else for that matter. Except one particular lunchtime when it was pouring down with rain and we had a wet weather lunchtime. We were supposed to be in our classrooms, but we didn't want to be in our classroom. So three of my mates and I, we were only about 12 or 13 at the time, we decided we were going to go outside in the pouring rain and run around. And yes, we would get soaking wet, but what did that matter? So out we went and we ran around in the rain until Mr. Marsden poked his head. Now, Mr. Marsden was okay. He was our sports teacher. But he could be severe, and he was a deputy head. And he poked his head out of the door and waved to us, summoning us to him. And as we arrived in front of him, what did he say to us but, what on earth are you doing? I would never have thought this of you. And then that killer phrase, what would your parents think of this? Out of character. We only did it once. But there are other times when I've acted out of character. And it's interesting, because when you do act out of character, it does create a bit of bemusement amongst people. That's not what I would have expected of you. That is not what I'm used to experiencing from you. That is not the kind of behaviour that is normal for you. The story of resurrection is to state to the story of crucifixion and those involved in the story of crucifixion, act out of character. You do not have to feel threatened by people who think differently from you. You do not have to close down discussion and debate when somebody disagrees with you. It can be fun to disagree with people. You do not have to control people until they just conform to the way in which you see the world. You can act out of character. You can allow your imagination to run wild. So there is a serious side to this playfulness. And where do we find it? All over the place. Not only do we find it at the empty tomb, they go and they expect to find the tomb is closed and it is open. And Mary is thinking that she's talking to a gardener and discovers actually she's talking to Jesus. If we go further, then what do we find Jesus doing? Actually, encroaching on enclosed space in the upper room from behind locked doors. And when we get to the road to Emmaus, we have Jesus accompanying people who fail to recognize him until there is that surprising action of sharing bread and wine together. Resurrection works in the face of stale predictability and opens up the way of imagination. But if resurrection is about imagination going beyond where we have ever gone before, then it's also about re-establishing connection. Relationship. Of course, those stories that I've just mentioned, those stories are all about encounters. And they are all about moments when things begin to click. It's about a year ago that I was taking a service at Haxby. And I noticed there were a couple sitting on the back row in the congregation. And I noticed them because they seemed to be particularly attentive. And I thought, that's interesting. But I didn't really think much more of it until we got to the end of the service and I went to the back of the church and people came out of the service and this couple came and stood there in front of me to shake my hand, and at that moment it clicked. At that moment it dawned on me that I used to play with their son when we were 7 years old. And I had not seen them for years. But the fascinating thing about it for me was not just that moment of it clicking, it was the fact that I had sensed something before, though hadn't been able to make the connection. Is that not what we have in this series of resurrection narratives? People who are beginning to sense something. Something's a bit different. Something's a bit out of the ordinary. There is something here. The beloved disciple finds the tomb empty, goes in, he sees and he believes. His moment of clicking. Mary hears her name said by the Good Shepherd, who knows everybody's name. Mary. And we could go on and explore the other stories. They're the same kind of feel. People being drawn back into a sense of community. Being drawn back into a relationship. It's no surprise that the resurrection narratives are all about the disciples. Jesus doesn't have anything more to do with Pilate, or the chief priests, or the Romans, or the soldiers. It is his community of friends and disciples with whom he needs to get back in touch, who need to get back in touch with him in order to have that energy and that enthusiasm to be able to be the resurrection community. So on the one hand, what it means to celebrate resurrection today is to say, let's be more imaginative. While at the same time to say, let's engage more meaningfully in relationship and community. Well, you know that from time to time I make you sing in foreign languages. It's okay, I'm not going to make you sing in a foreign language this morning. But I do want to finish with some Latin. You don't sound so keen now. You may have come across the Latin phrase, memento mori. Yeah? Memento mori. Okay? Remember, you must die. That's what it means. Okay? And it's been used by various people over the centuries, but one of the reasons it was used was by people, one of the ways in which it was used was by people who were close to the Roman emperors, to Caesar. And they would, from time to time, whisper in Caesar's ear, memento mori, remember you must die. In other words, don't think that you're eternal. Don't think that you're going to go on forever. Don't think that you're above all other human beings who will also die. Remember, you must die. Memento mori. Well, let's change that. Because while that's very important, surely our phrase for today is not so much memento mori, but memento vivere. Remember, you must live. Remember, you must live. Let's pray.